This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This team is going to take on the identity of this city.
Looking, throwing, end zone, caught, touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We're going to kick you in the teeth.
Montgomery, right side, end zone, untouched.
We're going to be the last one standing.
Good! Yes, sir. This team is all of those things.
Today's guest, Commanders cornerback Mike Sanrastil, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Cowboys quarterback Cooper Rush, actor Dave Annable. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's a fact, and can confirm it. It's me. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live here on a Friday on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, coast to coast, terrestrial radio, Sirius XM, Odyssey, TuneIn, and more. We say hello to everybody out there watching on the Roku Sports Channel every day from 12 to 3 Eastern Time. We're thrilled to have you. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial, whether you're watching us or you're listening to us. And we appreciate it if you do both. You know what? Certainly if you watch, we like it with the sound up. 844-204-RICH again is the number to dial here on the program. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. What's going
on,
brother?
Hey, man, I'm great.
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Good
We're
to
back
see
on
you.
Fridays.
Oh, good to see you. Way to make it about yourself. What's up, TJ Jefferson? How are you? Good to see you.
I'm great. You know what I found out last week?
What's up?
We are playing in the Arizona, University of Arizona Rugby House.
Okay.
They got us on a consistent loop, I found out.
Oh, I had no idea.
Wait, what?
That's
the University of Arizona. Their rugby team.
They watch us?
Watch us every day.
Oh,
my nephew
right.
Jackson told me that.
Yeah.
Hey. So shout out
What's
to
up,
the
nephew Jackson
Wildcats.
And everybody in,
let's go.
In the Arizona rugby locker room?
Yeah, him and my buddy Ashton from London told me that.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Ashton from London?
No, yes, his name is. Well, Jackson is Ashton's nephew, but his roommate Ashton, who's from London, told me that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Good to see you over
so
there.
So your work over the pond is working, is what I'm saying.
I appreciate
Rich.
That. Thank you for now making it about me. I'm more comfortable that way.
I figure.
Speaking of which, Mike Sanrastil is going to join us. I just said, you know what? I want to speak to a rookie who's doing very well. He's got his playoffs in the sights.
Okay.
And the Washington Commanders have off this week. I'd like to check in with Mike Sanrastil just this week.
Yeah, for no reason other than to
right.
see.
I just want to finish the week of boasting off very, very, shall we say, Mason Blueish. So
you've been doing your
Mike
thing.
Sanrastil is going to join us on the program. Check in what's going on with Jaden Daniels and certainly Terry McLaurin. Because Terry is very important to us on this program.
Yes.
Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin are,
those two guys.
Are the tandem that we have in our fantasy football league.
They're going to bring us the title, Rich.
For the fantasy footballers, and they're off this week. So we send up a flare to everybody else who's suffering from Bimageddon this week. Mm-hmm. And lots to talk about on this program. But we talk to start about Thursday night football. I mentioned to you yesterday from this chair, from this segment, from this very studio, that this was the game of the year to this point in time when you've got a division matchup between an 11-1 home team and a 9-3 road team. The road team are the Green Bay Packers. The home team are the Detroit Lions on a 10-game win streak, and Lions fans are out of their minds, figuratively, when they're out of their minds about how they're loving this Roar restoration and how the Lions are, in certain parts, the best team in the National Football League. And then literally losing their minds, like people who are holding the American flag and making throat cut gestures to the Packers coming out on the field and the head coach. But that said, we'll hit that later on. But game of the year, when these two teams are coming out of the toughest division in football, clearly, figuratively, the toughest division in football, with the 10-win Vikings in there, too. And then, quite literally, these teams in the NFC North are physical. And the Lions are physical. Jahmyr Gibbs, as Kirk Herbstreit rightly pointed out in the Prime Video broadcast, is a physical runner. Just because he's fast and hits the edge and gains the edge faster than maybe anyone in the National Football League, he can run between the tackles. He is physical. David Montgomery is physical. Josh Jacobs is physical. The defenses want to hit one another. Paint swapping affair. And the Packers entered last night into Ford Field with bad intentions, just like they did on Thanksgiving Day last year. They walked into that building with upstart division hopes, and they had the Lions down several times in the second half of this game, but the Lions prevail at the end of the game, and Lions fans have every reason to just be out of their minds, figuratively, not literally. 12 games now they've won in back-to-back seasons for the first time in franchise history. The 12 wins are tied for the most in a single season in franchise history. They officially clinched a playoff spot. The Lions are back in the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. My Lord. These are words that Lions fans had hoped they would hear at some point in the rest of their lifetimes, and now it is a reality. They broke a franchise record with their 11th straight win. It's the longest single season win streak by any team in the league since the Steelers started 11-0 in 2020. They improved to 9-1 in primetime games since 2022. That's the best in the NFL. From 99 to 21, they won only 8 primetime games combined. The 9-1 record is tied for the 4th best in the league in a 3-game span of primetime games since 1950, which is interesting they go back to that, because when the hell was their primetime games in 1950?
Well, you know, there were like 2 channels. But and then
I know. I mean, listen, who wouldn't watch the Giants and the Colts go at it when I Love Lucy was on the other channel? Thanks for the laugh, Mike. I appreciate it.
Probably a lot of people.
I Love Lucy. I mean, Goff came up with his 25th passing touchdown of the year last night. He's got 25 passing touchdowns in each of the last 3 seasons since 2022. Only player in the NFL with such a stat since 2022. It's Jared Goff. The running backs. David Montgomery becomes the 3rd player in Detroit history with at least a dozen rushing touchdowns in back-to-back seasons. The others are named Barry Sanders and Billy Sims. That's it. Ooh. These are names in running back Detroit lore that usually don't have anybody else's name etched next to them. Jahmyr Gibbs reached the 1,000-yard rushing mark. It's the 3rd straight season Detroit has had a 1,000-yard rusher. And the first since Barry Sanders. Did it from 89 at one point through every season from 89 to 98. Jahmyr Gibbs is doing something Barry Sanders last did. Montgomery's doing stuff that Barry Sanders and Billy Sims last did. Goff is doing stuff like only Stafford's done. And the Lions are doing stuff that no other Lions team has ever done. This is happening. And the one thing I would only say about this, for the Lions fans to just at one point just get in that twinge again, that this potentially could go a little awry. Is their coach likes to roll the dice, Matt? I mean, my God, does he like to roll the dice?
Yep.
And you know, I think Dan Campbell is coach of the year. When there are other terrific coach of the year candidates, he will be a finalist.
Locked it up. Yeah, he might have locked it up.
I mean, we'll see how Tomlin finishes in Pittsburgh. There's a lot of other candidates that are out there, guys.
Yeah.
But, man, Dan Campbell likes to put everything on the line. And he did it 5 times last night. They were 4 for 5 on fourth downs. And, you know, some of them worked out, like the lion's share, if you will. I said that on purpose. Worked out. Two of those fourth downs led to touchdowns. One to Tim Patrick, who had 2 touchdowns, and one to Jahmyr Gibbs when they went for it on fourth and goal from the one. And the last team to score 2 or more touchdowns on fourth downs in multiple games, as the Lions have done this year. It's a second such game this year with the 2010 Cowboys. Didn't work out for them very well. That was the year that they replaced Wade Phillips with Jason Garrett. Mm-hmm. But Garrett finished 5-3, and that led him to get the job. So
there's that.
There's that. But my point again is this. When they went for it on the one time that it didn't work out, on 4th and 1 with 1:29 to go in the third quarter, they're up by 3, and Dan Gamble, goes for it from his own 31-yard line.
That was crazy.
And Jahmyr Gibbs gets hit for a loss of 1. And then 4 plays later, Josh Jacobs scores his 3rd touchdown of the night, and the Lions are down. I sat there, and I'm like, this is shades of the NFC Championship game right now. Shades of the NFC Championship game right now. And it was just a fresh reminder that all of this great stuff could just go up in smoke. And then comes the 4th quarter, where the game is tied. 31 apiece. They're on the 21-yard line of Green Bay, 43 seconds left. They have a field goal kicker who is up there in the Brandon Aubrey rarefied air right now. As close to automatic as they come in the NFL. 38-yard field goal, and Dan Campbell says, timeout, let's talk about it. But during that timeout, I mean, I don't know what you guys are thinking sitting there watching it. I'm thinking, what were we calling timeout? Just to get the play right? Because we know he's going for it. There's no way he's just going to set up the field goal, because all he's got to do is get one more first down, then you could take it down to 0 and then get your automatic kicker out there and win the game.
Yeah, and the Packers would have had, what, like 40 seconds maybe to come down and try to tie it? Yeah, something like that.
But we've seen that's too much time for an offense that can click
right
and come up with chunk plays, as Jordan Love had proven in the second half of this game.
Yeah.
So this one kind of made more sense, certainly more than going for it and you're deep in your own end in the middle of a third quarter, like at the end of a third quarter, when it's just punt, and play for another day.
Yep.
But that's not their MO. That's not this guy's MO. And it worked out. This one worked out. The final, 5th and final 4th down attempt gave them 4 of 5 on 4th down on the night. And the Lions wrapped it up. This is what Coach Campbell had to say about the decision afterwards.
I just felt like we needed to end it on offense, you know, and I did not want to give that ball back, and I believed we could get that. I believed we could convert, you know, and I trusted that old line. I trusted David, and they came through for us. It's a hell of a call by Ben, you know. It just I knew how I wanted to play this game. The team knew it, and everything in me told me to let's finish this, and so we did.
How about Jared being able to get rid of that ball when you get stepped on?
He's an athlete. He got that thing handed off. And David did the rest. It was great.
7-yard gain, and again, he got stepped on by his left guard.
Yeah.
And as Herb Street pointed out in college,
He's down.
Knees yeah. down, but yep. This is the pros.
Yep.
And Goff did somehow get it to Montgomery, but that's just the case in point that when you gamble and you roll the dice, you never know if your left guard's going to step on you. And I understand that's not the way you live life. You're not like going to be when you're crossing the street saying, you know, this could be the last step I take in my life. But you do look both ways before stepping in the street.
Left, right, left again.
You know?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And sometimes it feels like Dan Campbell's not checking out the traffic patterns before stepping in the street.
He's playing Frogger. Like Costanza.
Jared Goff with the line of the night when being told his coach's response to him almost not getting the ball out.
Yeah, yeah, real athletic to fall down on a routine handoff. But yeah, I'm glad we made it happen. And we came into this game knowing we were going to do it maybe a little bit more than usual. Dan had mentioned that early in the week that, you know, he was going to really lean on our offense to make some things happen and certainly be aggressive on fourth down if the opportunity presented itself.
What faith does that show in you and the offense, everybody that he...
Bigger than anything. Yeah. Like, that's like all you want from a head coach is to believe in you and that gives us that little extra oomph to want to make it happen. And I'm not the one running or blocking, but I'm sure those guys up front say, all right, you know, you're giving it to us to make this game and finish this game off on our terms. And yeah, it means a ton.
So there you have it. You know, here I am sitting here again thinking the same thing I thought after the NFC Championship game last year. Is like, can we just dial it down from Spinal Tap 11 to 10? Just dial it down. Dial it down. Like, I would punt when you're on your own 31 in the third quarter. You know? But if they punt in those situations, the team might now look at Dan Campbell and go, is coach all right? Because they're used to it. Campbell even said they know how I want to play it. Because he's not just sitting there dice rolling. And I know I just accused of him not checking the traffic pattern. This is a guy who basically said, I told him during the week this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's the strength of a coach and a coach of the year, is you tell your guys what's going to happen. It happens. They do it. They succeed at it. And you get an answer like Jared Goff saying it means everything in the world. But I'm just sitting here saying the greatest Lions season ever is unfolding right now.
Yeah.
Greatest Lions season in the history of the Detroit Lions is unfolding right now. And I'm just like one of those movies looking through my fingers at the future at a moment in a win or go home game where there's a fourth down decision and they're going to go for it. And the whole football world's going to be on pins and needles. It's going to happen. You know it. I know it. The football fans know it. Everybody knows it. But right now what the Lions are still ahead of the Eagles in the standings and in the playoffs and real close to clinching the toughest division in football. And next for them are the Buffalo Bills in Detroit. Oh, baby. With visits to Chicago and San Francisco after that. And then the home game against the Vikings, which potentially could be for the division if anything goes awry over the next few weeks for the Lions. Or just a game for the Lions to rest people because they know they got everything wrapped up. I'm thinking it's going to be somewhere in between.
So ironic, too. You're talking about the best season in Lions history, right? So to match that, they'd have to be tied in the NFC Championship game with 3 minutes to go in the game. And last night, he's doing the crazy fourth down stuff. The score last night, same score as the NFC Championship game last year against San Francisco, 34-31. This time, they're on the winning
end. No, and I understand where it's got to go to be better than that last year. I'm just saying right now, the regular season, it's already better than last year. They've already leapfrogged last year's regular season.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be left up to whether they have the referee pay enough attention to who's eligible or not as the razor's edge between a seating position that they want or not. I don't think. They're putting themselves in a much better position to have margin for error. That said, the Eagles are going to potentially be right behind them. They've got the Carolina Panthers at home this weekend. We'll talk about the Packers later on in this program. We've got on this show Cooper Rush of your Dallas Cowboys in advance of the Monday night finale to this week that kicked off in such entertaining fashion on Prime Video last night. Hopefully everybody watched it right here on the Roku portal.
We're on fire.
Dave Annabelle of Lioness and also Yellowstone, if you didn't blink, on this program in hour number three.
Nice.
He is a Devils, Giants, Mets fan.
Oh.
An interesting combination.
Okay.
So he, too, is on pins and needles, refreshing to get the Juan Soto news, potentially.
Imagine it happens while me and Dave Annabelle were sitting here together.
Oh, okay.
Do we call Jeff again? Do we give a pass reboot?
No.
Okay.
That was fantastic.
That
I'm
was
glad
great.
You enjoyed that.
I love that.
I was embarrassed
great.
By it, but
no,
okay.
No, you weren't.
Okay. Tom Pelissero with all the latest, but when we come back, while we're talking about football, championship football in the state of Michigan, one of the talented rookies of your 8-5 on a bye week, Washington Commanders, Mike Sanderstill, when we come back right here on The Rich Eisen Show. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game, shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can be a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help you find options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5x membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you've got an oil change coming up. You can go farther and save on full synthetic with our oil change special. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Valvoline Advanced Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $33.99. Get the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
12 minutes ago, who tweeted what? Who tweeted what? Who tweeted what?
So Alex Speer of the Boston Globe.
Hear it?
Here it comes.
No, I tweet anything. He's just tweeting that the Red Sox are kind of demanding one final meeting with Juan Soto to basically say, what's it going to take to get this done? What's the price?
Name your price.
Name your price.
To become a Red Sox, and we will put that on a check.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only to have Steve Cohen take that check.
Well, that's
and this pin
on its way to pick you up.
Okay, let's add 5-0.
What that reads to me is that they have gotten the sense that he's leaning towards the New York, if not Los Angeles, direction.
Yeah, we're not.
And they're like, listen, what better way for us to describe to you that we want you than to say, name your price, and we will put that on a check, and let's get this done. Yeah. That's what it sounds like to me.
That seems
right?
pretty accurate. Yeah.
And that sound you hear is an orchestra playing, a symphony playing, and the conductor is Scott Boras.
I mean, he's the maestro. Is that what you're saying right now?
Yeah. Yeah. He is absolutely, you know, and then pointing to the Yankee section,
and then
the Mets section, and then the Dodgers section.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. I need more. I need more Red Sox.
Boris Williams.
Yeah, like Bugs Bunny. Leopold.
Cohen.
What's happening right now?
Is he going to play
and
the New York Philharmonic, the Boston Pops, or the L.A. Philharmonic?
Right? All I'm saying.
Which one?
I need the music to stop.
Which one is he going to play with?
And we need to know when to clap.
When to clap.
And for who. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, man.
Let's get it done.
This needs to be over.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Guys, you know, there's a difference between talking and talking, okay? So, for instance, what I do every day here for 3 hours, I'm talking. I'm talking to you.
Yep.
Yeah. We talk to our radio audience. I'm talking to our Roku audience. But on occasion, TJ Jefferson, certainly when it comes to college football this week, I've been talking.
With your chest.
Talking. In terms of that, kind of been talking to myself. You know, you sometimes chime in on my behalf, like you're happy, I'm talking. You know. He thinks I'm talking too much, this guy over here. That's okay. It's okay.
It's not like you were a player.
No, I understand that.
I mean, that's a good point.
Well, perfect segue, Chris, because I wanted to start talking with somebody who knows what I'm talking about. Because basically, when he arrived there, we had zero wins against Ohio State in quite some time. And then number zero started showing up and showing out. Now we got four in a row. Joining us from the Washington Commanders, where he's seeing the playoffs once again in his sights, is the rookie cornerback from the University of Michigan, national champion Mike Sanderstill. How are you doing, Mike? Good to see you.
Chris, that was amazing, man. That was amazing. I'm doing great, though. I'm doing great. Oh, all is well.
You are. It's great to see a nice Rose Bowl gear that you've got on right there.
I got to have it on. You like know what I'm saying? Playoffs coming up. Got to represent.
I like it. I like it.
Although, unfortunately, we aren't in this year, but
I know.
I'm a ride or die with my guys always.
So where were you watching the game over the weekend, Mike?
I was here. I was in my home. Okay. I had so many different emotions watching that game, but it was dope. It was dope to see those guys go out there and play with nothing but heart, play for each other, and just execute and come out that game with the W.
What were your emotions? Walk me through them watching this game as a national champion, Michigan Wolverine. You left a standard there that, for many reasons, unfortunate. The wins and losses were not supporting in the follow-up year from Team 144, and then you saw what you saw in this game. What were your emotions, Mike?
Really, it was just like, listen, no matter what, go out there and find a way to win this game by any means necessary. I was super happy to see how well the defense played, and just guys showing up when they needed to. And, you know, just like Kalel, I don't know how he broke out of those tackles, but he did it. He found a way. Davis connecting to Payne O'Leary for a big third down conversion. And then I think a play that is very undernoticed but might have won us that game was the scramble that Davis had to convert for a first down and keep the drive alive. And then Dominic just killing it with his leg. He's been doing that all year. But like I said, just, you know, those few splash plays that showed up in that game ultimately, you know, helped those guys go out there and finish it in a dominant manner. The defense played outstanding. The front seven, as always, you know, from this year, the year before that, like, have always been showing up when it came to this game. And in my opinion, football is always going to be won in the trenches, no matter how explosive you are in your skill positions. I feel like the game of football is always won in the trenches, and our guys in the trenches showed up to play.
And again, you weren't there, but you've been in this game multiple times, and it seemed once again that the Ohio State University, because I'm trying to be respectful, include the in there.
Now you are?
Now you yes! What do you mean now I am?
Don't hurt yourself.
Okay. I did pull something.
Yeah, geez.
So with the Ohio State, once again, seeming to lose itself within a game plan, within this the game, by trying to run straight at the strength of Michigan's defense rather than going outside where their apparent strength was. What happens in this game, Mike? What happens in this game where sometimes Ohio State loses itself in the middle of it?
I think, you know, kind of like I just mentioned, that, you know, that game comes down to the team that's willing to out-physical the other. It showed up in years past, even when, you know, when they were winning. I feel like it was a team that was going the whole distance, going all four quarters, playing dominant. And you, like I mentioned, you know, you have to be able to run the football. I don't care how many weapons you have outside. If you can't run the ball, I don't think you can establish a offense that's like, I feel like as a defense, it's easy to put an offense in a situation where you know they're going to pass the ball. But when you have that balance of being able to run the ball, then you could throw a few passes over top. You force the safeties to come up. You force guys to play downhill. Then you could take those shots behind them. But it's tough when you don't establish that run game early on. And, you know, you get out physical.
I guess, screw it. Let me just go directly at it, Mike, because the conversation amongst us Wolverines that we talk about it and a lot in the punditry talk about how Ohio State talks about being tough, but Michigan comes in and proves it and does it. And that has been part of the problem why the worm has turned in this rivalry. Would you agree with that as somebody who's been in this game and has looked in the eyes of Buckeyes across the line of scrimmage, Mike?
Yeah, I would say so. I'd say in recent years, we've been the team that has been more physical, more dominant, and has been willing to go all four quarters. And it's as simple as that.
Okay. A couple more things on this game, and then we'll turn to your current state of affairs for the Washington Commanders. Mike Sanders still here on the Rich Eisen Show. What are your two cents about the planting of the flag and everything else that came after that game, Mike?
I think it's... I did it myself when I was there. I planted the flag. And in my opinion, right, when people go to war, you go to war, you take over people's territory, right? And you don't just the territory you take over, however that goes, like those people don't just come back to life and fight for the territory again, right? And of course, you know, no one's dying out there on the football field. But what I'm saying is you walk into an opponent's stadium in a rivalry game, you win that game as, you know, the away team, technically you've taken over their turf at that point. And, you know, it's kind of what Khalil mentioned at the end of the game, like you have four quarters to show how tough you are. Don't come out at the end of the game once we're, you know, celebrating on your field, trying to act tough now. But at the same time, as a human being, I understand the level of pride that comes with defending your territory. So I understand both sides. But like I said, look, our guys walked in there in a hostile environment, took over their turf, celebrated how they celebrated. And, you know, everything else that came after that
and
is what happened.
Right. So in 2022, you were the one to personally take a flag into the middle of the horseshoe and jam it in the O. On the 50?
Yes, I did do that, yeah.
Okay. And were there any fisticuffs? Was there pushing, shoving, similar to? Because I don't remember anything like that happening in 2022.
No, that did not happen then, no.
So why do you think it happened this time?
Honestly, I can't really tell you why. I think it's just, it starts with, in my opinion, coaching. You know, you have to be able to control your players. But, you know, like I said, I understand where those guys are coming from, too, as, you know, you're not just going to let somebody disrespect you, I guess, if you want to put it like that. But like I said, you have four quarters to disrespect however you want to. Once those four quarters are done, whatever happens, happens after that.
And was it in this very room behind you that you were watching this game, Mike?
No, I was watching it upstairs in the living room.
Okay, very
good. It was myself, my girl, and my parents. My daughter was upstairs napping, so I was like quiet. I was quiet screaming. I was whisper screaming and stuff. It was funny.
Okay. And at what point did it dawn upon you that you now had the ability to talk smack to a veteran teammate, warrior from the Ohio State like Terry McLaurin? When did it dawn on you that you now had chitty chatter rights that you were going to exact during his press conference after your win over the Titans, Mike?
As soon as I want to say we got that, when we got them to fourth down on their last possession, I was like, there's nowhere to get in a pass off right here. Like, I just knew, you know, the guys up front, we're going to get back there, force him to, you know, make a bad pass or something. And I'm like, look, right after this play, I'm going live on Instagram. I'm tagging Terry. I'm tagging Jalen Holmes, Marshon Lattimore, Noah Brown. There's actually Javonte Jean Baptiste. I have five Ohio State teammates. So just being able to have those bragging rights on those guys Feels amazing.
But you're a rookie, Mike. No? I mean, you know, like, that's okay, right, Mike?
Robbery's a robbery.
Okay. I got to tell you, Terry looked good holding up that number zero of your jersey.
No, Mike. He did. He did. Imagine what he could have done in Mason Blue.
Imagine what he could have done. Mike Sander still here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about your rookie season. You're on your bye week. Commanders are 8-5. Walk me through how your first 13 games as a pro has gone in your estimation, Mike.
It's gone fast. It's gone very fast. But I think part of that is because, you know, we're having a lot of fun here. You know, everything from a staff standpoint to player standpoint, everybody in the building is just a cohesive unit. Everybody appreciates each other. Everyone has a genuine care for each other, and it makes the work environment so much easier to be a part of. And, you know, as a rookie, I love where I am in terms of the people I'm around and, you know, what we're planning on doing, you know, as a team. It's the best, you know, best case scenario I could have, you know, been a part of.
And so Dan Quinn, how has he guided your personal ship to this point, Mike?
Coach Quinn he's phenomenal. You know, he's all about ball, all about figuring out ways to, you know, get guys better. And, you know, he's a true competitor. You know, the way he talks, his passion behind what he does. You know, there's two coaches that I will always say I'll forever, you know, want to play for: Coach Harbaugh and, you know, Coach Quinn. Like, I just love how they're both wired. Coach Quinn, you know, he's, like I said, he's a elite competitor, wants to be the best at what he does. And we see that each and every single day we go into the facility.
Well, I'm not going to ask you if you're hitting a rookie wall since you played 15 games last year, Mike. So you're not even at your complement of games that you played for Michigan last year and winning a national championship. But you also understand what it does take, even though you are a rookie, to finish strong. Certainly in games where people are going to be looking at you to do such things. This past win over the Titans, what was going through that locker room leading to that, coming off of the losing streak you guys were on?
So, you know, big shout out to Bobby Wagner. In our team meeting the Wednesday of that week, he, you know, he kind of just, you know, he stood up in front of the room and was saying, like, listen, in order for us to get to where we want to go, we have to get back to doing the little things, you know, get back to the basic fundamentals and just pretty much regroup. Just, you know, continue to have fun, continue having, you know, appreciation for the little things that we go through, the small adversities that we go through, and, you know, getting back to being disciplined, getting back to, like I mentioned, you know, the basic fundamentals, because when it comes to, you know, those games that we need to win later on in the season, those games are won because of the foundation that you set early on. And that's, you know, the drill work, you know, the team workouts, that's all of that is how much did you prepare yourself for the back end. You don't know what you're preparing for in the moment, but when you prepare at the championship level, that's when you become a champion. It's not the day a championship is played that you become a champion. It's what you did in the off season to help yourself with that foundation for later on to have success.
I love that. I love that guy. Bobby Wagner is a Hall of Famer of Hall of Famers, period, end of story. He'll be first ballot when that happens. You got a good example of what it was like for you to realize first time you were on the back end, speaking of that word, of Bobby Wagner, one level behind him on the defense?
Yeah, I mean, he's exactly what you'd want. You know, he embodies everything from, you know, like you just said, he's a Hall of Famer. And, you know, he's just a great human being. And just to be able to have the experience that he has and the knowledge that he has as a rookie, being able to learn from someone like him, you know, how could you get it any better way? And there's no surprise that he's up for, you know, the Man of the Year award. Like I mentioned, he's a great human being and he wants to see the people around him succeed. And he's going to challenge you to be the best version of yourself. And that's what he does each and every single day he comes in.
What's it like being around Jaden Daniels, Mike?
Awesome. He's Jaden's such a cool dude. You know, he's another one, elite competitor, wants to be the greatest. And, you know, I see the work ethic he has. He comes in the building every day, 5:30 in the morning. He's already walking through, you know, their calls for the week. You know, he shows up early, leaves late, takes care of his body well, does everything he needs to be to put himself in, you know, the position to be a great quarterback. And, you know, I love to see what he's doing right now. And he's a leader. And, you know, he has that chip on his shoulder of, you know, he wants to be great.
Give me an example where you realized for the first time he was a cool customer, whether it's on the field where you're ready to come back on the field, you think you're going to maybe come back on the field, and he's like, no, no, offense stays out here. You got one of those moments, Mike,
of
the season for you? Touchdown, maybe?
Shoot.
Anything that he did?
I think just him being able to, like, the plays he can create with his feet, and just being able to, I think he could scramble and throw it. He could scramble and run. But I'm gonna just go to, you know, Chicago Bears, last play of the game where, you know, he threw the Hail Mary pass. You know, we just finished against, I think we gave a field goal or a touchdown, one of the two, but offense goes back out there. We all get in our feet and we're just watching the play develop. I'm right there on the sideline. I see him, you know, make one guy miss. He scrambles back left, makes another guy miss. Then he gets set to throw it. Ball goes up. And the first thing I think about, I'm like, wait, there's a chance. Like, there's a real chance that this ball might get caught. I'm watching the flight of the ball. I see it get to about the 2-3 yard line. Zach Ertz jumps up. And at first I thought he's the one that tipped it, but it was actually Stevenson, the corner there, who tipped it back. And once everyone landed, all you see is Noah Brown back there by himself. And I'm like, oh, snap. Like, I'm like, oh, snap. Did I really just witness this happen? And, like, you've seen it on TV before, Aaron Rodgers. But, like, to be on the winning side of that, it was amazing. It was one of the coolest things I've ever experienced as a football player.
Yeah, and I think you'll agree, Mike, it's cool that Noah Brown had that catch and Terry McLaurin's having his as well this year. So at least those two guys know what it's like to win big-time football games.
100%.
See what I'm saying when I'm talking with somebody else? You get it? I've been just doing that by myself all week.
I feel you.
I'm happy for you. I'm more happy for Mike,
right?
But I'm happy for you too.
Get him off the screen. I want two smiling Wolverines on the screen at the same time. Look at us. Who's got better than us, right? No,
nobody.
That's right.
Nobody.
Mike, I bet you didn't expect that this was going to go this way.
No.
Did you?
Oh, come on now.
Oh no, he knew. He knew.
You can't put two missing guys in the room together after
not
a house tape.
That's right. Not this week. Let me take this one shot with you completely off the board before I let you go. Converted wide receiver to a corner, to a defensive back like you, Mike. We've got a guy who I believe is going to be a runaway winner for the Heisman Trophy in Travis Hunter this year, doing both. He's a Biletnikoff finalist. He's a Bednarik finalist for whatever reason. The Thorpe people left him off the finalist list, but you are now going through the crucible of an NFL season. Do you think Travis Hunter or somebody even of maybe even lesser talents or his talents could do both in the NFL, could play significant snaps, like 100 snaps a game, splitting them on either side of the ball, Mike?
I want to say yes, because he's phenomenal at what he does. Like, it's not easy to play that many snaps. And clearly he has the condition for it. So I want to say yes, but at the same time, I feel like, you know, once you do get to that, once you're in the NFL, right, the season is much longer. And, you know, I don't want to say it's more physical, but in a sense it is much more physical, because it is, you know, you're going against grown men. And I think it could be done. It might not be done with the same amount of snaps, but I think he can do it. And honestly, you know, I'm rooting for him to do it. So I think if he's able to step into a NFL organization and produce at the high level, both sides of the ball that he's doing currently, that's going to be something, you know, that will be spoken about for generations. So, you know, I'm rooting for him.
Mike, thanks again. Greatly appreciate the time. Love watching you ball out at the next level. I've told you this before, you and the rest of your teammates, certainly Team 144, mean a lot to me, and I'm always rooting for you. And in particular, say hi to Terry for me, will you please, Mike?
Just
tell him I said hi in particular, straight from me, Rich Eisen. Okay.
I got you.
Take care of yourself, Mike Sanders. Still, thanks again.
Appreciate you, Rich.
The one and only Washington Commanders corner, Mike Sanders, still here on the Rich Eisen Show. Does look good, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby.
You are living your best life.
A lot of fun. I get a Nnamdi vibe talking to him.
Yeah, I like that. I like that comparison. Totally, you know? Agree.
He sounds like him, too. They have the same voice. Nnamdi Asamoah.
Well, just that
perennial
calm,
Pro Bowl.
Calm demeanor.
Yeah.
Super deep voice.
Yeah. Cerebral.
Yep.
Athletic.
Yep.
A winner.
Yeah. A winner.
Let's take a break. I think I've made my point. Coming up, Cooper Rush of the Dallas Cowboys, Tom Pelissero on the latest going around the league, including what Jim Harbaugh was interested in doing coming into the league. As many of you clearly know, I love going to watch football live. There's nothing like it, whether it's college football or professional football. There's nothing quite like the excitement of being in the stadium. And Game Time tickets and Game Time picks through Game Time is exactly your way and your gateway to getting the seat that you want and the experience that you'll never forget. Game Time Picks is a new curation feature that filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't waste a single second searching through thousands of tickets. The all-in pricing feature, that's my favorite. You get to see your total upfront, no surprise fees at checkout. With Game Time, you'll always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use my code of Eisen for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN. Boom, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happen. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/westwood1.
So I played 11 years.
You did.
They have been to the Super Bowl 9 times.
Damn.
And I didn't get there once.
Right.
Think about that.
Right.
And I was one pick away from being drafted by the Patriots.
What happened?
The Chargers drafted me.
No, but I know that's what happened. They didn't come up and get you.
So I went on a visit to the Patriots, and that's when Charlie Weiss was the offense coordinator. Mm-hmm. And I go to Boston, and I really liked the visit. I like Charlie. I love Charlie Weiss.
Did you meet with Bill?
I did meet with Bill. You know, we sat in his office right above the stadium, right there where you're looking out at the stadium. And we really just sat there. We really didn't talk about much. We just looked at each other.
And, what do you mean? We just kind of stared in each other's eyes,
you know, I guess.
So you're saying it was awkward?
You know how Bill is. There's only a few things he probably wants to know about you. And I guess he was trying to get a sense of, you know, was I passionate about football? As most coaches do. You're
going
to invest a first-round pick on a guy. You want to make sure they're passionate.
Do you think they would have chosen you if you were available?
Well, they said they were going to choose me. Charlie Weiss promised me if I was there at 6, because they needed a running back. They needed a running back bad that year. And so, when the Chargers drafted me, I think they took Richard Seymour.
Richard Seymour. Have you ever brought up to Brady when you've seen him?
No, never brought it up.
You could have been Robin, his Batman.
I always thought about, you know, what would that be like?
With all due respect to Antoine Smith. All due respect.
Yeah, I know, right?
To Antoine Smith.
Yeah, I know. It would have been a little different.
A little different.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm kind of getting freaked out. Oh, yes. Check it all out on our YouTube channel, why don't you? You are your family's biggest supporter, so make sure they're protected today with affordable online life insurance through Ethos. Up to $2 million of same-day term life insurance coverage in as little as 10 minutes for as little as $2 a day. It's 100% online, and there's no med exams, only a few online health questions. The mortgage, kids' education, and other costs could all be covered through Ethos. Straightforward protection for the people who matter most. Get a free quote at tryethos.com. That's TRYETHOS.com. Cooper Rush of your Dallas Cowboys coming up, TJ Jefferson.
Yes, sir.
We're being fair and balanced. We've had Zach Taylor on Tuesday. We'll finish the week with Cooper Rush. They will finish the week 14 on Monday Night Football against one another.
It's only right.
That is correct. So look, before, and then Tom Pelissero will join us on the program. Before we get to those gents, I don't usually throw this out there, but it has been corroborated by our friend Lombo on McAfee's show. Mike Lombardi confirmed it, or he heard the same thing. But Dan McNeil, who is in Chicago and is a longtime sports talk host in that town, he tweeted out that Jim Harbaugh was interested in the Bears coming back into the league last year, and the Bears were uninterested. Kevin Warren, former Big Ten commissioner, who may have had paths crossed on occasion with Jim Harbaugh when he was at Michigan. He's the team president there, and according to Dan McNeil, personally quashed it. Said, no thanks.
Ooh. That should make Bears fans furious.
If it's true.
If it's true.
If it is true, because Jim, as you know, former Chicago Bears quarterback, and what's one of the many things the Chargers are saying with him wearing the lightning bolt is like, hey, everybody, he used to play quarterback here. Well, you know. His first team was the Chicago Bears. Mike Ditka going right in his face and him going back at Ditka. And this is exactly the type of personality that Bears fans wanted to have on their sideline, and connecting him with Caleb Williams,
ooh,
one would think there wouldn't be in the same scenario that's here right now. And as they go into a new coaching search, because the decision, as we all know, in Chicago is to status quo it with Eberflus and bring in a new offensive coordinator while drafting Caleb Williams. And that went so awry that they bounce the offensive coordinator first, and the guy that they elevated has now been elevated again. Like, that's a double upgrade. Like, as I said, that's like flying standby and then sitting in a first-class seat.
Getting one
Thomas Brown right now, right? He was on standby coming into the season. They're like, ah, come on the plane in Chicago.
Next thing you know, he's getting a hot towel and warm nuts.
Those hot towels are just unbelievable every time.
I'm telling you.
Every time.
Well, he's definitely getting warm nuts.
Whoa.
Well, I'm talking about the weather, Mike. What's your problem? What are you talking about over there? What are you doing?
What are we doing?
My balls was hot.
Thank you very much.
I haven't hit that one in a long time.
All right.
Yeah, that one. I mean.
Way to back the play here.
Sorry.
But, you know, it's just something that is being discussed at length in Chicago right now that we will ask Tom Pelissero if he can dust off his notebook from last January about what was happening in the coaching searches. Jim, as we all know, along with his wife, Lovett in Southern California, and that had a lot to do with him coming here.
Yeah.
So did Justin Herbert. So did the whole setup. But
the money was nice, too.
The question is, in Chicago, do they have the right group at the very top to figure out this coaching vacancy, crucial coaching vacancy, correctly, when they could have created one last year and had somebody like Harbaugh coming in to chit-chat about it?
Hmm.
That's the backdrop in Chicago of the next few weeks and months, as they have to get this one right. as I said, I think they've got the general manager right. They've got the parts on the field right. They just got to get this coaching hire right. There's a lot of question about the search already in Chicago.
What are the Chargers? 7-8-4? What is their record? 8-4.
So they're plussed up 3 already with 4 more games to go.
Would the Bears be 8-4 right now if they had Jim?
I don't know. You'd have to sit here and think it would be in a much better place.
The offense would be different for sure.
You'd have to think it's in a much better place. You know, I mean, Greg Roman would have been the offensive coordinator.
A lot more DeAndre Swift.
A lot more Roshon Johnson.
Yep.
Yeah, and a lot less on the rookies' shoulders.
Yep.
Again, don't forget what Jim's doing out here is with a bona fide stud with dozens upon dozens of starts under his belt in Justin Herbert.
True. Better offensive line, obviously.
Right.
They definitely take a lineman but at 9.
You can't, if he was interested in the Chicago Bears job, you can't blame Jim for being interested in that one. Because he knows the city, he knows the franchise, he knows that Caleb Williams is coming, and he knows that's a pretty winning combination. Again, don't know if any of this is true or not.
All right, let's FaceTime Jim and let's ask him and see what he.
And he'll be in his powder blue snuggie.
Powder blue snuggie.
Just like Jeff Passan
was.
Look,
we're one for one on this. Let's go.
No, this we're not doing.
Yeah,
hey, Jim, I know you're getting ready for Sunday Night Football against the Chiefs, but.
Quick question.
Were you interested in the Bears?
Hey, Bears?
My World with Jeff Jarrett takes wrestling fans behind the scenes, along with King of the Mountain, Conrad Thompson.
I wanted to ask you about what you know, if anything, on the new WWE ID program, where they're apparently going to be working with some independent wrestlers.
My encouragement to any independent wrestler out there, build your value and then understand your value, and then you create your own leverage. There's no substitute for hard work and getting over.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.